celebrated Mass with our great auxiliary bishop, Mitchell Rozanski. And Bishop Rozanski, I was just telling him, he really has on his heart some of the things that are going on in our country and some of the discussions about religious liberty. He's brought it up many times to us as priests, and has really been an inspiration to kind of motivate us to do something about it. And I think that's probably the point for all of us, is that when he's speaking, to motivate us to pray and to see if there's ways in which we can really protect and stand up for our own religious freedom. So without any further ado, let me welcome Bishop Rozanski with us today. Yay!
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning again. And thank you. And this is a wonderful opportunity to pray together, to eat together, fellowship together, and then to open yourselves up to some different pertinent topics that are affecting our church, especially in the year 2012. So I thank you for taking the time this morning to explore the erosion of religious liberty here in the United States. And as I step back and I look over the causes for concern over the past few years, I think of an analogy of cataracts. And when Father Matt said that I'm addressing a group of so maybe if you have had those experiences, I've already had it myself. But in the development of cataracts, it's imperceptible. You don't really realize that the sight is being diminished because it does so slowly, but yet it does so deliberately as time goes on. And that I compare to what's happening to religious liberty in our nation. I think that things are clouding over, and they're clouding over almost imperceptibly, but yet there is a steady erosion of what religious liberty is in our country. Bishop Daniel Janke, who is in Peoria, Illinois, was in the news recently, and it was kind of I would call it a tempest in a teapot, but what Bishop Janke said in a homily on religious liberty is he asked his people to reflect on what happened in totalitarian regimes like Nazi Germany and in communist Russia. And what he said was the first thing to go was religious freedom and religious liberty. That the teaching faculties were taken away from the schools and from the universities. The freedom of thought was suppressed, and the state took over the thought of people. So he raised that to show us the alarm of what could happen if we erode religious liberty in our own nation. But all of a sudden, the press took it and said, Bishop Janke compares Obama to Stalin and Hitler. The whole message was missed. The whole message that he was trying to bring out was totally missed. Bishop Janke warns us to be wary of the dynamics by which our religious liberties are being attacked. The press took it on a whole different angle. But the core message of what he was trying to say was, wake up. It happened in our recent history in Nazi Germany and in communist Russia. Wake up to see what's happening here. And don't be complacent in the face of what's going on. Catholics, and I believe all people, need to be aware of the subtle, yet they're very telling change of language that is being used when religious freedom is being addressed. And the shift, to me, is disturbing. Listen for the subtlety of language. We're moving from now freedom of religion to freedom of worship. And at first blush, it doesn't seem as though that's a very big thing. But look at the concept. Freedom of religion means that we have the right to live according to the moral dictates defense of our faith in all aspects of our freedom as Americans. So it's a very broad definition of what religious freedom really is. When you start hearing the buzzword freedom of worship, that means you're confined to freedom within the four walls of your church. So it's a very limiting concept of what religious freedom is. But that's the language that's being used by many in government. They're saying now, not freedom of religion, but freedom of worship. And when you look at the meaning of freedom of worship, you can see how confining it is. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to alienate religion from the public square and just keep it in the churches. And what Bishop Daniel Janke said was, that's the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany, and it's the same thing that happened in Russia for the communist revolution. Freedom of worship really connotes that one has the right to follow one's conscience in a limited space. Our founding fathers had no such intention as they sought to guarantee freedom of religion for our nation. George Washington himself said, "The conscientious scruples of all men should be treated with great delicacy and tenderness, and it is my wish and desire that the laws may always extensively be accommodated to them." So that's the founding father and his concept of freedom of religion. I do believe that it is important to give examples so that we have something concrete to work on of how our religious liberties are being attacked. At the end of World War II, there were thousands of people who were displaced in Europe. The bishops of our country at that time responded to that need and sought to do whatever possible to alleviate the sufferings of those who were homeless and who had to resettle, and they tried to resettle them under humane conditions. So over these past decades, our migration and refugee services, under the auspices of the United States Catholic Bishops, has been acknowledged as a top-notch agency in working with people throughout the world. So not only in Europe, we are in Asia, we are in Africa, we are in any place where there happens to be war and a need for resettlement of refugees. In dispensing grants to organizations that help refugees, our federal government has passed over this great organization and all of its work, because it now required that any group working with refugees, now that's not in this country, that's in Africa and Asia, but they required that any group now working with refugees had to make contraceptive and abortion services available to those refugees. Now, there is a scale that the federal government uses when they're dispensing grants to different organizations. And our refugee and migration services is at the top of that scale. But yet, other organizations that were lower on the scale were given grants and we were passed over merely because we will not provide contraceptive and abortion services and make them available to refugees when we're helping them. So the common good of those refugees is really being compromised, and our religious freedom in working with them is really being limited in that ruling of the federal government. So you can see where, on a federal level, those services are being limited for them. The people who are most in need, and they're living under dire conditions, are victims of the federal government and the regulations. Our own Archbishop-designate, Archbishop William Laurie, comes to us after having led the Bridgeport, Connecticut diocese for 11 years. Now, 3 years ago, a bill was introduced to the Connecticut State Legislature to mandate the structure and the organization of Catholic parishes. It affected no other faith in Connecticut, only Catholic parishes, not Protestant, Jewish, or Muslim. The measure ultimately failed, but it shows how religious liberty is under great attack by those who are hostile to having religion in the public square. Archbishop Worry is the chairman of the Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty that was established a few years ago by our bishops' conference because we were alarmed at the many affronts that are happening to religious freedom in our country. So the legislation that was in Connecticut would have taken the leadership of the temporal goods of the parish out of the hands of the pastor and the bishop of the diocese and placed it in a committee. And it was very specific as to what duties or what rights that committee would have. So it only applied to Catholic parishes, it only applied to the Catholic Church. It was very, very limiting. But fortunately, because of the outcry and the literally the protest en masse of Catholics in the state of Connecticut, that legislation failed. But it's happened. In our own state of Maryland, we have a series of pregnancy centers. I believe that St. Paul is supportive of one in the local area. A series of pregnancy centers throughout the state. And in Baltimore City and in Montgomery County, legislation was introduced to really limit the freedom of those pregnancy centers by saying that each of those centers had to post what services they provide and what services they did not provide. Now, abortion clinics are not given the same regulation, are not given the same restriction, but our pregnancy centers were. We took that to the next level. We're willing to go to the Supreme Court to fight that. We won a few months ago the decision. It went to, I believe, the Circuit Court in Richmond, Virginia. And we argued that we were being restricted in our freedom in our pregnancy centers, and the judges ruled in favor of us. However, you have to spend very much needed funds that could be used elsewhere in order to fight this. And it's happening time and time and time again. So we are being affected nationally on the federal level. We're being affected on the state level, and we can see where the different parts of religious liberty are being eroded. Just an overall picture, and I think we've set up a trap for ourselves. We tend to pride ourselves, and we as Catholics say that, on the individual freedoms that we have as citizens of this country. But I think what is happening is, in those individual freedoms, we're failing to see what responsibilities we have. So when the individual freedoms are taken over the common good of others, I believe we have situations that are set up that we have today in our country and in our state. When we look at what the different legislators are doing, it's setting up individual rights over the common good of our people. And in doing so, we're going to erode religious liberties. We're going to erode religion in the public square because to those legislators, religion is looked upon as being restrictive on individual freedoms. They're not seeing how religion contributes to the common good. So I believe that's the kind of the overall picture of what is happening in our country when it comes to religious freedom. Let me read you a quotation, very interesting. "We are blessed to live in a nation that counts freedom of conscience and the free exercise of religion among its most fundamental principles, thereby ensuring that all people of goodwill may hold and practice their beliefs according to the dictates of their consciences." Who said this? Barack Obama. Yet, the Health and Human Services ruling of his administration has been the most blatant affront to religious liberty in our country. This is not merely a matter of contraceptive use. This is forcing a religious body to act against its moral principles. And so there have been other denominations, even though they don't believe the same thing we do, they have seen what's happening and they have joined with us in protesting against the Health and Human Services rule, because they realize that once this starts, down the road somewhere, their own religious liberty and freedom to practice is going to be eroded. This is really starting a downward spiral. This past January, the bishops of Region 4, which the Archdiocese of Baltimore is included and our neighboring dioceses, attended our ad limina visit to Rome to meet with the officials of the Vatican Dicasteries and with Pope Benedict XVI. When the Holy Father addressed our region as a group, he chose the topic of religious liberty. And I knew in that audience room, when I heard him start to speak and he introduced his topic, that I was really witnessing history. The Holy Father spoke of the inherent need for the witness of religion and for people of faith in our public life. He also warned, and I quote from him, "It is imperative that the entire Catholic community in the United States come to realize the grave threats to the Church's public moral witness presented by a radical secularism which finds increasing expression in the political and the cultural spheres." He continues, "Here once more, we see the need for an engaged and articulate and well-formed Catholic lady, endowed with a strong critical sense vis-a-vis the dominant culture, and the courage to counter a reductive secularism that would delegitimize the Church's participation in public debate about the issues that we are determining in the future of American society." This is an issue that we as bishops cannot fight alone. We need an informed Catholic laity, ready to be aware of the great consequences of the erosion of religious liberty and all that we hold dear. Remember the analogy of the cataracts. Let us not become blinded to a fundamental right of our society because we have allowed our lenses to become cloudy by indifference. So I ask for your help in the so many ways that we can indeed make our voices known in our government and to let our legislators know that we will not be restricted or alienated from the public realm, because religion has contributed greatly to this nation over the past 200 and some years and continues to contribute if we are really willing to speak our minds and to have that voice. Thank you for listening today. I enjoyed being with you and I enjoyed talking with you.